The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, September 18th, 2011. For those listening live, and obviously not if you're listening to the recording, welcome aboard. Thank you for being out there and joining me to co-create the show today. I'm excited to be here. It's shocking to me that it's already this far in the year. Only about 3 months to go. And I don't know about you, but although I have a fair amount of flexibility built into any goal that I'm moving toward, I'm certainly not exactly where I thought or hoped or planned that I would be. And not that that in particular is the topic that I've got for today, but it's what's here right now. And that is the topic for today. So before we jump into that, please join me in connecting. And so as with the last few weeks, since I made the adjustments, we're going to start by connecting internally. And just open up and breathe into your connection with you, the divine aspect of you, but all of you. Just let yourself be with yourself and breathe in. And if anything comes up that's like judgment, just be with that. Breathe into it and let it do what it needs to do. But if you allow it, it will move. Good. And let's move on and connect down into our Mother Earth. The being that allows us to be physical. Without her, we don't have this literally place to anchor. And so just allow yourself to breathe in. And for the past week, it's been interesting because for me, I've just found myself when I connect with her almost doing a trust exercise with Mother Earth. You know the cliche where you stand there and then you've got someone behind you and you just fall backwards. And so that's what I've been doing. I've just been falling backwards and allowing myself to be caught by her. And that's been very, very wonderful. So you might try that. You might do whatever else you feel like doing to open up to feel her support. But just breathe in, breathe her in, breathe into her. And allow yourself as well to open up to feel the connection, the presence, the support of your guides and angels, your spiritual teachers, all those other beings who are Not in body currently, not physically at least. And yet, who are here present with you to support you? And just allow yourself to open to that, feeling it, feeling them with you, feeling them within you. Wonderful. And onward yet again, we move out to connect with all those others who are helping us to co-create this here today. Whether they're listening live or listening to the recording, we're all co-creating it in this now. And so just reach out, allow yourself to open, to feel the like-minded, like-hearted individuals out here who are walking this path with us today, in this process of connecting with ourselves, in this process of discovering ourselves, in this process of knowing ourselves, in this process of exposing ourselves. And so breathe in and feel that camaraderie, that energy of we're in this together. And finally, expanding that energy out even further than just the audience for the show, expanding that out to connect with all the other light workers, all the others walking a spiritual path, seeking their mastery, seeking the connection to divinity, that are in body and on the planet right now. And again, just that feeling of we're in this together. We are, even when we're not consciously aware of it, we are connected and we are moving forward in this co-creation. Excuse me, this co-creation of change. All right. Thank you, thank you. And so today, until about 10 minutes ago, I had no idea what I would be talking about. My guest that I thought was going to be joining me could not join me today, so that's quite all right. We will continue on, and that guest will join at another time. Now, what came in for me to connect with you about today, at least to start with, is presence, being present, and how to go about that. And actually, what we just did, these five steps of connecting, that is one way of getting present. It's about choosing to focus on an aspect of our experience, of our reality is a loaded word, but I'll use it, of our reality. And I think that for the most part, we tend to ignore much of what's going on around us. And certainly that is understandable. I don't know what the number is. It doesn't stick in my head, but there was just a ridiculous number from a scientific perspective of how many inputs we have coming at us in a given day, how many things there are to hear or to see or to look at. And where you're at right now, if you simply look around, looking around in my office, I could probably, if I went through to make a list, I could probably list, oh, I'm guessing a couple thousand things that I can see from where I'm sitting right now. Bookshelves over here, crystals, clutter, papers, just so many things. And then out the windows, I've got, well, actually, I'm sure there's more than 1,000 things, depending on how I want to divide this up. I've got multiple trees, clouds, and all those leaves on the trees, since it's still not time for them to go, and the crab apples on this tree, and the spider webs over here, and I can't consciously take it all in a way that is labeling each of those things every time I look at them. they become part of the background. They become part of the status quo. The same with sounds that we have. And it's a common thing that people talk about, that once the air conditioning or the heating season is underway where you live, we typically tend to ignore the sound of the heater kicking on or the air conditioning kicking on. We tend to ignore those sounds that come with some regularity, like the refrigerator, etc. And, you know, for me, living 20 feet, 30 feet, whatever, from a highway here, now it's a two-lane thing, not an interstate, but there's a lot of traffic. And I had no idea just how many motorcycles were on the road until I moved in here. But I can't have that be something that comes to the forefront of my consciousness, the forefront of what I'm focusing on, if I'm going to be able to do anything else. There's a sign around the corner, one of those electronic billboards, and in there, advertising to try and sell advertising on the billboard, they state that more than 14,000 cars pass here every day. That's a lot of vehicles. And if every time one of them went by, I was paying attention to it, I was focusing on it, that's not going to leave me a lot of time or space for the things that I would consciously choose to focus on. And so we have these natural defenses that we've developed, where if something is not new or unique, and therefore it could be either a threat or an opportunity, it tends to go into that background of what we don't notice. And unfortunately, we also have a tendency to put into that background a lot of things that are coming up to point out what I'm going to call holes in our reality. In other words, things that don't fit, we don't see, because they are, in some ways, a threat. Now, this is the opposite of that thing where we notice what's different because it's a threat. But I certainly believe a lot of the time, and it's not that we may not notice it, it's that our interpretive mechanism, and you can call this the ego if you want, our interpretive mechanism is going to try and define it in a way that is understandable so it can get put in the background, so we don't have to process it. So for instance, when people in a relationship start having problems, and that's a whole nother topic, why that happens, how to deal with that. But when they start having problems, it's amazing to me how many times one of them is perceiving the circumstances in that relationship. And let's talk partnership now. Let's talk partnership relationship, which is where many people go when they hear relationship. But I like to clarify that. Two people in a partnership, and one of them is perceiving things from a very different perspective. And for that person, this partnership is not working. How many times have you heard, how many times have you been aware of in those around you and those that you know or those that you've heard about, where one person in that partnership comes to the other, and whether it's divorce or breaking up or whatever the form might take or the description that is used, where the one who is initiating the end of it, I mean, that's fairly extreme, especially if it's a relationship that was at one time fairly good for both people. You know, it's not a surprise if you've been on three dates and you just decide, this isn't working. You know, it's a different thing when you've been together for years. But how frequently does one of the people who comes to that conclusion that it's time to end it catch the other one completely off guard? Well, how can that be possible? How can it be possible? Well, because we want things to make sense. We want things to fit the vision of reality that we desire. And things that don't quite fit that, we tend, there's names for this. One is rationalization. We tend to rationalize. We tend to try and make sense of it. But it's not trying to make sense of it necessarily in looking for the deepest underlying truth, but rather trying to make sense of it in terms of fitting it into our current view of the world. And that's what I meant earlier when I started this section about wanting it to go into the background. You know, and in that sense, it's a different kind of survival. One of our survival mechanisms, obviously, is to save the physical body. But a lot of us are trying to save our sense of self-worth, whatever degree we have of self-worth. We don't want to take the ego blow of someone else rejecting us. And so we ignore the signs that it's headed in that direction. I know of an experience where literally someone got blindsided when the divorce request came, and yet a few days before it came, the person who got blindsided found on his desk the phone book open to the page for divorce lawyers. And yet, maybe there was something else on the page. Maybe there were other lawyers, etc. Maybe the cats got up and moved the page, etc. in between. But it didn't set off the alarm of, oh dear God, this is going to happen to me. Because it's something we don't want to happen. Now that's an extreme example. The ending of a marriage, the ending of an important long-term relationship. But we do that in ways large and small, I believe, very frequently. And one of the reasons for that is how much we get caught up in what we are supposed to be doing, what we should be doing, versus what we're here to do at the core level, which is experience. And so instead of being with what really is, we are with, much more of the time, our interpretation of what is. And so back to the core term, the core topic here, which is presence, being present. And one of the ironies for me about walking this spiritual path, the path of self-discovery, the path of opening into divinity, is that from everything I've come across and the things that I've experienced personally, whereas many people seek spirituality as an escape from our lives, from some aspects of our lives that we don't like, from our place of not knowing our worth. And it's something to be sought after that is in some ways outside of us. And again, especially the Western tradition, the Christian tradition, the Jewish aspect as well, and I don't know if it extends into the Islamic as well, but that idea of the sins of the flesh, original sin in the Catholic way of looking at it, where physicality itself, there's something wrong with it or evil about it, and it has to be fixed, I think has embedded in us this desire to escape from physicality. And I think that goes across the board. I don't think people are immune to it, even if we have a knowledge of the spirituality of everything, including the physical body, including physical reality. It's one thing to have the knowledge. It's a very different thing to have the experience of the divinity of physicality. And so that's an aspect of what I'd like to touch in here today and explore a little bit. I mentioned irony a little bit ago. Now I'm actually to the place of the irony. For me, this is a core belief of mine, a core understanding of mine, is that we cannot ascend until we actually get present, fully present, in our physical bodies. In other words, we're not going to get out of here. Yeah, no one gets out. No one here gets out alive. That's not what I'm talking about. We're not going to get out of the physical until we become the physical as divinity. And so for me, the concept of ascension has been turned on its head. When I first came across it, it was very much about just raising the vibration of our experiences. And that often I see in those walking this path where they just want to call in more light. Call in more light. Okay, God, deliver me another delivery. It's kind of like around here in New England, we've got the oil drum in the basement, and that's what's going to run the heating oil into the furnace, which is going to keep us warm in the winter. And so we just call up God and say, God, I need another delivery. It's time for some more light here. Fill up the tank. And yet, all of our judgment, all of our pain, all of the experience we've suppressed, all of the old emotion, they sit like rocks inside that tank. And so, yeah, we can come and have God top our tank off. But there's going to be a lot that comes into our energy field that's excess. We can't hold it because we're not clearing out those pieces that are about our rejection of the physical dimension and the emotional dimension and even the mental dimension that go with being in the physical. And so what I'd like to do here, for a little bit of the time at least, is to walk through some time, some experiences of just being present with you. And so I want to, before we jump into this, make another distinction. And the distinction I want to make is between stillness and silence. Because in some ways, I think there is a common misconception about meditation in general. A very common misconception. And that is that we're supposed to silence the mind. Now, some would say still the mind, but I believe most people interpret that as silence, where there's no thought, where there's nothing happening there, and that's the point of meditation. And I don't believe it is. I believe that the stillness we're seeking is the stillness of the observer. Now, what comes to mind as I think about this, to give as an example here, may well be a stereotype, but the Native American or the indigenous person in whatever natural world where they are so aware of what is going on around them that they become one with the natural environment. And I think there's a degree where we've lost that. It's not that there's no thought going on. It's that the awareness has expanded so much that there has become a melding. We in the Western culture tend to separate ourselves from things. We're always defining things. That's part of what science does. It breaks it down and it defines it more and more, smaller and smaller, another piece, another piece, another piece, label, label, label. Well, calling something a book is going to give a certain impression, but it's going to be a different impression based upon your experience of the book. If I use the word book, I could mean a hardcover. I could mean a paperback. I could mean something that was the first thing to come off that Gutenberg Bible coming off the printing press. I could mean something that is an e-book now, an electronic book, doesn't even have that physicality until you put it on your printer. And yet we each have our associations with that word, and we're going to use that label. But until you have a particular book in your hand or a particular book in your field of vision, you're not in the experience of it. You're in the experience of your label of it. You're in the experience of your stereotype of it. You're in the experience of your judgment of it. We are. Certainly I do this as well. That's both the gift of language and the curse of language, because it helps us to share concepts, and yet we're all coming from our past experience, and so when I use that term book, it may not be what you're using it as. Another example, which is by far perhaps better than book, is record or recording. Being in my 40s, there's a lot of people now who are in their 20s or younger who have never experienced an LP, an album. Don't have any much experience even with cassettes necessarily. God knows what an 8-track would be to them, or a 78, or a 45. The terms just don't have meaning. I've used that, a record, and they're like, what? They don't know. Or an album. What is that? You mean a CD? It's not part of their reality because they haven't experienced it. And yet, for those of us who, that was part of growing up, the records were around, the albums were around. That is one of the difficulties, if you will, about walking this path, is that it's difficult to discuss because the terminology is imprecise. And any terminology is about our own experience of it. And this is one of the pieces that for me is frustrating at times. It has been extremely frustrating at certain times. I attempt, when I'm communicating, whether it's on the radio show, whether it's in a session, whether it's in my personal relationships, friendships, etc., whatever, I attempt to be as clear as I can possibly be in how I say what I'm trying to say. And yet, I have had people come back and reflect back to me, sometimes directly and consciously, and sometimes in they're getting pissed off at me for whatever reason, reflect back to me that what they perceived of what I was saying or what I was intending with what I said, that they had not gotten any of what I was putting out because they were perceiving it through their own filters and their own experiences. And of course, I was sending it out through my own filters and my own experiences. And that makes it difficult at times to truly connect with others. That's one of the reasons I believe that we have as much conflict as we do in the world. Yes, a lot of it is about value and we're trying to prove our worth, but a lot of it is also that there's not one world out there. There's 6 or 7 billion worlds. Each one of us is living in our own world. And yet at the same time, as frustrating as that has been, it's also started over the last year or so to become freeing for me, because I can only be as clear as I can be. And I accept that your experience of what I'm putting forth is literally that. It's your experience. It's not me. And it's not even necessarily what I was attempting to do. It's your interpretation. It's your experience of me and of what I was attempting to do or what I was attempting to say. And there is a great freedom in that for me, or at least, again, it's becoming a great freedom, because all I can do is communicate as clearly as I can communicate. I can't guarantee to you that what you're experiencing of my words, the concepts I'm sharing, the experiences I might share, is going to be what I intended. What I can guarantee is that whatever that interface is, whatever the overlap is, where you're experiencing me or and I'm experiencing you, it's going to be exactly what we each need in that moment. Because we're coming together to co-create it. We wouldn't be sharing time, space, energy, experience if there wasn't purpose behind it. But I can't control that. And that's really freeing. I cannot control your experience. I can't even control my experience. And for me, that has been a tremendous relief to get closer to that place where I'm not trying to control everything that's happening in my life, where I'm letting go of the need to control it, because I can't. I'll be as clear as I can be, but that's the best I can do. What your experience is going to be is up to you and your past and whatever degree of presence you're going to choose to give to the interaction that we are sharing. And so we come back around to presence again. And so what I'd like to do is just very brief. You might call it a guided meditation. I don't know what it's going to be until we do it. But as we begin, I would ask you to do a couple of things. One is just to let your breathing open up as consciously as you can. It doesn't have to be exceptionally deep, although deeper and slower will actually slow your brain waves down, and it helps to get into higher states of consciousness, if you will. And so just, again, allow your breathing to deepen. And let's just go through, to start with, the physical senses. And let's start with sight. Because in some ways, that's the one that we tend to most align ourselves with. What we see. Seeing is believing, the cliche of all cliches. And so just notice, look around. First of all, notice what's in your field of vision. Don't move your head. Just check it out as far as you can peripherally to either side, up, down. Maybe circle your eyes so that you're kind of walking around the edges of your peripheral vision. And just notice how many things, you're not counting, just noticing, how many things are there in your field of vision? And how much time do you spend noticing these things? How much time do you actually interact with them? How much have they become simply background in your life in this particular environment? Okay. And now that's the thing. So now notice colors. How many different colors are there? Variations, shades within your field of vision. Okay, now shapes. Just notice the various shapes that are surrounding you. And how about textures? Now, shapes and textures are interesting because they actually have a component of your sense of touch to them. You know what the shapes are because you've touched those shapes. Even if they don't have a definite term for what the shape is. Same with the textures. So that's a place where our senses overlap a little bit. So now, if you will, if you're willing, close your eyes. And let's start with that sense of touch. And without seeking to touch something, what I'd like you to focus on is what you're already touching. If you're sitting down or lying down, what are you connecting to as you do that? How does that feel beneath you? What clothing, whatever clothing you have on, how does that feel on your skin? How about the sense of temperature on your skin? All right. Now again, just kind of notice how many different sensations, without reaching out to touch anything, how many different sensations of touch are you experiencing right now through having multiple articles of clothing on or in being in contact with the floor and the chair and the back of the chair and different materials that you might be in contact with. All right. And now let's go to the one that might be the most obscure in this moment, which is the sense of taste, because I'm not asking you to eat anything. But just notice, what is the taste that might be in your mouth? Does it taste like toothpaste or mouthwash? Does it taste like the last thing you ate? Did you wake up recently? Does it taste like morning breath or coffee? And what happens if you breathe in through your mouth? Does that affect it? Certain environments certainly can, I know. Certainly tastes different to breathe in a cave or on the beach than it does to breathe in a city. So let's go to one that in some ways might be the most primitive sense of smell. Often a trigger for memories. At least it can be. So just notice what, if anything, you smell around you. Perhaps if you breathe in deeply, you can smell your own cologne or perfume again, or your deodorant, or the soap, or shampoo. Maybe not. Can you smell the room that you're in, or are you outside? Can you smell flowers, trees, grass, rain, the ocean? Just notice and connect, whatever it might be. Notice as well if any of the things I've said have elicited a response of, oh, I wish I was at the beach. Anything you'd like to be smelling right now? And that in a moment is going to take us where we go next. But before we do, I would like you to focus through your sense of hearing. And just notice the sounds that are around you. By all means, my voice is here. But what else? What else is there? Sounds of nature, wind in the leaves, birds, bugs. More man-made sounds, from automobiles to the refrigerator, to the hum of the transformers, the adapters for your computer, the hum of electronics. Other people talking. Just again, notice what's there. And throughout this, if any judgment, if anything comes up, just breathe into it and let it go. And now, let's take a moment to focus, to be present with your physical body. Just allow yourself to, in whatever way you like, although it can be a good model to start at the toes and work your way up, just feel your way through your body, just noticing how it feels to be your heel right now. Or your shin, or your calf, or your kneecap. You might have connected with some of this when we were doing the sense of touch. But now it's the internal feeling, not the feeling specifically in relation to what your body might be connected to. But feeling your body itself. If there is anything that's uncomfortable or painful, you can certainly breathe into it and just give a gentle intention that you would choose to let that pain or discomfort go. That's not specifically our goal. It's just about being present. It's just about noticing. And you can keep on that if you're not done with that level. But next I'd like each of us to connect in with our emotions right now, whatever they may be. And again, if anything comes up that you don't like, you can certainly set that intention that you would release it, that you would clear it out of your energy field. Thank it for coming up and thank it for going. But mostly it's just noticing where your emotions are at this moment. Okay, and again, you can stay here longer if you like, but we'll just move on a little bit. And focus on the mental. Focus on your thoughts. Where is your mind at now that we've gone through this process to this point of becoming present? It's not that there are any bad thoughts. And all we're doing now is noticing them. Although if something comes up that's been bothering you, you can certainly again set that intention that you thank it for coming, but you choose for it to leave and you're happy to let go of it. And now this last is a little more nebulous and yet a little easier to get to, perhaps, because of the path we've just taken. But now we're just going to choose to connect in with, to notice what we would define as our spiritual body. It can be called soul, it can be called spirit, it can be called multiple other things depending on how you understand it, but this is just about connecting in and letting ourselves feel our divinity in this moment. And breathing with our divinity. And allowing our divinity to expand. Both in size and in shape, perhaps. Allow our concept of divinity to open a little bit more, so that our concept of divinity includes our mental body. So all of our thoughts can become divine. And it includes our emotional body. So all of our feelings can become divine. And it includes our physical body. So all of our sensations in the physical can be divine, including what comes through the five senses, so everything we hear becomes divine, and everything we smell becomes divine, and everything we taste becomes divine, and everything we feel becomes divine, and everything we see becomes divine, and everything around us becomes divine, and every relationship we have becomes divine, especially the relationship with ourselves. Because that's where it starts. And in some ways of looking at it, that's all there is. Since all the other connections are just us looking at ourselves through the mirror. And allow yourself to take a deep breath and when you feel ready to open your eyes, that's fine, but take your time. I would say it's transformation time. We have a little bit of time left here in the show, so I will ask you to just allow your breathing to continue to be as deep as it is, or deepen it a little bit if you are so willing and able. And I'll do some toning, and we'll see what our guest for today from the Divine Realms would have to say. Dear ones, this is the Apostle Andrew come to be with you today. Welcome, 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 welcome. And if you're not already, please smile and take a deep breath and thank yourself in this moment for choosing to be alive. Because you've heard it before, you'll hear it again. No matter how much it sucks, it is a great gift to be in a physical body right now. So, it is time for a little bit of embracing the obvious. That's the game show today. So, first thing is to embrace the obvious that is your own body. Give yourself a big hug right now. A bear hug. Make some noise. Arr! Hug yourself the way you would hug a child that you dearly love. Arr! And and breathe while you're doing it. Breathe while you're doing it. Embracing the obvious. And let yourself breathe into it in a way that is that relaxing. When you're in a hug where you are surrendering, you relax. You relax. You let go of some of your guard. For someone to get into the space to be in a hug with you, if it's truly someone you desire to hug and it's not some socially obligated hug, the A-frame hug, the side hug, etc. But if it's truly someone you desire to embrace, you're doing that because you're desiring to let go. Because you're desiring to give yourself your presence more fully in a way that you can't do with mere words. And so embrace yourself that way. And let yourself relax. Let go. Let go of some of your guard. If you can't be unguarded with you, who the hell can you be unguarded with? Now, that is one of the key unspoken points of all that you just heard at the beginning of this show. Because being present is truly about stopping the bullshit. Now, that is about the trying to be rather than the being. That is about the seeking to put on the appearance rather than the being who you are. And this is not about you have to share the same with everyone. This is not about you have to give yourself completely to everyone. That's not the point. The point isn't how much of yourself you're comfortable sharing with a given person. The point is how much are you trying to hide? And how much are you pretending to be something you're not? So that they won't see who you really are, or so that perhaps they will see you as better than you see yourself. Well, here's the key, dear ones. You're divine. You can't get any better than you. You can't get any better than that. And the more you embrace that, oh yeah, give yourself another hug. But now hug not just the physical body, but the divinity that you are. Give your own divinity that bear hug. Because you can't get any better than that. There is no one out there better than you. No one out there more important than you. No one out there who can do what you can do or be who you are. So, you can take that to the bank. The First National Bank of God Goddess. Make that deposit in your account and then draw on it every day. Withdraw your experience of your divinity so that you always give to yourself first. Wonderfully beautiful lights that you are. And laugh more, for God's sake. You're all so serious down here. Enjoy, dear ones. Enjoy. Much love. Namaste. All right. Well, Doug, how about some chimes? All right, everyone. Thank you again for joining me to co-create our time together here today. I do appreciate it. I cannot create this without you. You may not know it, but we are doing this together every single moment of it. So I definitely appreciate the direct feedback, and I thank you in advance, and I thank all of you who have written me, who have talked to me about your experiences of the show, about what you think I ought to do or could do, topics, guests, etc. But I always appreciate the feedback. And again, remember, you go into the drawing at the end of each month if you've given me feedback. So, all right, I will be back same time next week, same place. I hope you'll join me again out there in the truth within. Remember, you never know where this show will go. So go out there, expose yourselves perhaps a little bit this week. Share some things with some people that, are deeper truth of you. You are amazing. Much, much love, my friends. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Namaste.
although far away. People like you don't